Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm privileged to have a very, very accomplished artist, a sculptor, a violinist, and a textile designer, Seema Singh Dua. Seema, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. As I just mentioned, Seema is a sculptor, and you can see the beautiful piece just behind her. She's a violinist. She's a designer. She's done several solo and group shows, and she's been awarded and recognized nationally. So, Seema, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
So, I would say that clearly the first being the time when I was in school, when I decided to pursue art as a subject. I had commercial art as my main subject. And then after school, I wanted to pursue art, like I said, as a subject. And I think my parents were very progressive, even at that time, where they let me do what I wanted to, away from the tried and tested, okay, bachelor degree. So I did a course in textile design for 3 years. That's when I feel my foundation is, that's where I found my foundation. Mm-hmm. Clearly the first time I feel a first milestone where I'm really thankful to my parents for letting me do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Second, I would say was, I think I actually got married quite early in life. Mm-hmm. And I had my boys, but by then I was freelancing as a textile designer. Mm-hmm. And there came a stage where I said, okay, I can work, I can earn, I'm a good mom, my house is functioning well, I'm a good wife, but now I want to do something for myself. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided that I wanted to pursue or follow, I think it must have been a dream that must have been suppressed maybe somewhere, you know, deep within me, that I wanted to express myself as a sculptor artist. Mm-hmm. And being in a business family, there's this preconceived notion that artists, kola puri, chappal, jholas, sari. So, but then it was okay. I think my husband was very supportive and I was very happy to join Triveni Kala Sangam, that's in Delhi, of course, I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
So I joined Triveni Sculpture Studio there. I think that's moving away from that comfort zone of doing well in your career and then wanting to just change yourself. Mm-hmm. Can I say, add here that it was not thinking of it as a lucrative profession. I mean, I thought that I wanted to do it for myself. And had I not taken that decision, I probably wouldn't have been where I am today.
Interesting.
And the third I would say was, you know, as in how things started taking shape and my show started and I started getting accepted as an artist, I realized that if I need to grow, I will have to set up my own studio. So I started, I rented out a place as a studio, primarily for, you know, the proximity. And also for the fact that you can't do large works unless you have your own space. You know, because of the space constraint in Triveni, you only get a stool. So I think my third biggest decision was to start my studio. It was a little challenging because a freelance lifestyle, you're not so sure what money you will make the next month. But I'm really glad I took this decision. Clearly
nice.
Three.
Nice. So let's now move to your passion, which is sculpture and art. And your website is www.seemasinghdua.com. Am I right?
That's right. Okay.
So my first question is, Seema, is that what motivates you to create?
So, you know, to be honest, I would say the first thing that comes to my mind is that to create is, for me, it's like a detox. It's like a stress buster for me. Feel of clay kind of makes me bounce back, even if I'm in my lowest phase, or I just the feel of clay to start the sculpture really gets me going. And I won't deny that money and recognition is a key motivator also. I mean, more than money, let's say that recognition or acceptance by a person who's a complete stranger to you. It's not as if someone known to you is buying or connecting with your art. A random stranger who connects with your thought process, or who's... So that really motivates, it really pushes me.
Very interesting. And you just told me that you work with clay, but what are the different mediums that you work with?
So, you know, initially all artwork is done in clay. Then since clay is fragile, we make molds. Mm. And, initially, I was only sticking to, you know, the tried and tested fiber and then painted on patina look just to give it a bronze finish. Mm-hmm. As I grew in my profession, I realized that I wanted to experiment. I wanted to learn a little more. And that meant deviating from the tried and tested. I, of course, did a lot of bronze even then, but now I started experimenting with different mediums like brass welding or argon welding for stainless steel, mm-hmm. or I do stained glass also. So none of my works now are just a single medium. They are always a mixed medium. So I think I like my last work was probably brass with stained glass. So that's what, I must say here that I would not have been able to be so experimental or take up these challenges had it not been for the fact that for your own solo shows, you can take it up, that liberty you have of experimenting. Solo shows make a lot of difference. It gives you a shot in the arm where you're willing to experiment with and make mistakes. It's okay. So that's how. A lot of mediums now.
And you know, when I was reading about you, you said that you work on commissioned sculpture.
Right.
Help me understand what this means and give me an example.
So, you know, that sometimes like there's a buyer that approaches you with something on his mind, like a vision that they have. Mm-hmm. It could be theme specific, it could be size specific, it could be area specific. Mm-hmm. So that's an idea that they have in mind, which they want to be created and informed, put it in place where they would want it. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say there is this corporate office that I did an entire 5 floors for. Mm-hmm. And very interesting to note here that, you know, the first initial couple of meetings was just trying to understand what they had in mind. Mm-hmm. And like what they had, their vision was 5 elements, earth, water, fire, space. Mm-hmm. So I created 2 artworks, 2 installation works, 1 for a lobby and 1 from the basement that goes up almost to the first floor.
Wow.
Created artworks for each level, which is depicting a certain element of the fire element or the earth element. Hmm. And there was another university, for instance, that they had different engineering fields, mm-hmm. or MBA programs. Mm-hmm. So that was very interesting and very challenging because, you know, that makes you kind of start thinking of how it's not then just an artwork sitting pretty. There has to be a thought process. Mm. Like, let me get back to the elements of 5 elements. It's like, you know, I read that there were mudras that each finger represented one of the elements. So, you know, you kind of start thinking along those lines. And there's a method to, like, let's say there's a method to a madness. You just... It's not, there a lot of study goes into it. Say, for instance, this the engineering field, like mechanical or civil, you'll be surprised that when you kind of study into it, you realize that there is your, maybe like you say, a planet, like that forces you just intuitively get to it, like Mars is, you know, gets you to strongly move or incline you towards civil engineering. If your Jupiter is strong, then finance is what you kind of start deviating towards. Of course, that's something like, it's connected. Right. I don't go too deep into it, but yes, it's always important to know what is it that you're trying to portray. Mm-hmm. And also, at the same time, keep in mind the persona, the personality of the buyer also. Mm-hmm. So on an individual level also, there are a lot of people who approach you for artworks, which are smaller. Maybe they have a niche in their house, or maybe they have a lobby, or they want an artwork for the entrance. I just did one work for a lady. So she had Garuda in mind. And
okay.
It is so beautiful to read about Garuda Ji, about how he was...
Indonesia.
And you know how... So there are many things about it. So... It's challenging when you do commission work, like I said, commission work where it's specific to someone's requirement, mm-hmm. and then you automatically start studying more about it.
Fascinating. Very fascinating. So, you know, as an artist, you would see that the value of art keeps increasing, decreasing.
Right.
You know, when there's a huge demand, value shoots up. What, in your opinion, really determines the value of art?
See, as an artist, I'd say that if I look at art, it has to connect. I have to have a conversation with it. I have to be able to, find a connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that should be for everybody, because art is something that you live with. It's not something that you change very frequently.
Yeah.
Even if art is, I mean, I personally feel like art is like religion, you know, it's so personal. But your own connect with art determines how much money or how much value you'd like to put to it. Having said that, I'd still say that unfortunately there are a lot of art dealers who can make or break an artist's lifespan. You know, I would say that's where the commercial part comes in more, where they can create a hype, they can really create a hype for an artist who lacks skill or originality also.
True.
That's very unfortunate. But at the same time, like I'd say, for any business, even in art business, negotiating is generally considered a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to make sure, you have to understand that if a person's coming to you with a pitch, he clearly likes your work.
Interesting.
That itself says a lot, you know.
Values,
you just have to be open to negotiating.
Correct.
You get to know kind of where you stand.
Correct. You know, so I was talking to someone who was the daughter of a very good friend, and she is probably one of the most leading experts in South Asian art. And she was telling me that Indian art pieces of art, whether it's sculpture or art, is getting noticed all over the world.
Right.
Why do you think this is happening?
So I think that there is a lot of potential, and there's tremendous talent here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I notice of late also is that there are a lot of galleries, domestic and foreign galleries, who are willing to invest in artists or, maybe promoting a show in galleries or Indian art, like art summits. There could be one art summit that's very popular in Singapore, Dubai, Hong Kong. Like personally for myself also, there's this gallery, Alpha Art Gallery, New Jersey, which did a show for me, which sponsored a show. So yes, people do notice you. And also, I'd say that the government also is taking a lot of initiative. I mean, visual or performing art comes directly under the Ministry of Culture and ICCR, which also sponsors art shows outside. So that exposure has become huge now. And I think it's not just the established artists. There are a lot of newcomers also being recognized and accepted in the art world globally.
Very, very fascinating. So one of the big challenges that is now being faced in the world of art is fake art.
Right.
You know, and every time someone wants to go and buy, and you know, some people were telling me that some artists actually tell them, do you want a replica or something like this? And I've seen fake art extensively in Vietnam and China.
Sure.
For a young buyer, how does it determine what is genuine or fake?
So, you know, I'd say this is the biggest challenge. That's one of the reasons probably I don't put too much of my work on my website. It's really almost redundant, because there are a lot of people out there who just want to take easy way out. But I'd say for a person for a layman, for any ordinary person to recognize a fake from an original, it may be a little difficult. With naked eye. So I'd say that if it's something that one wants to pick up and establish, or a high-end or very expensive artwork, I'd say the provenance is really important. You must look into authenticity certificate. Mm-hmm. Helps if you look at the trail of where is it sold, how many hands has it changed.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other things that you can kind of be a little careful about, say the signature. There could be very minimal differences in the signature. Be very careful when you pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
Most important, I'd say, is if it's like, again, like I say, if it's a high-end artwork, get an appraiser to value it for you.
Okay.
And the appraiser should be certified.
Mm-hmm.
People who probably get you a certificate of authenticity or, it's not a nice thing to say, but the reality is, that with a little money exchanging hands, anyone can certify that it's an original or not an original. So it's unfortunate, but yeah, you know, I would say here that there's this course in art appreciation at the National Museum, mm-hmm. which is very good if one can go for it. It's ideally catered to people who are working because it's spaced out over 4 months and it's evening classes. Mm-hmm. One of the topics that they pick up in art appreciation is how to identify a fake from the original. Mm-hmm. But there is no sure shot way. It is unfortunate. Yeah.
There is an element of chance in most.
It's alarming. You know, like it's just a small thing. It's disturbing also, to be very honest. I was sitting in Goa having a nice holiday, having a nice dinner. I get a message from my caster with a photograph of mine with one of my works, which is on social media. And he says, yeah, aapka copy hone aaya hai kaam.
So, wow.
It kind of shakes you up a bit that you get a little angry and you pull out all your work from the website and your social media. But then at the end of the day, that's not the answer. You just have to live with it. You just move on to the next.
Amazing. So tell me another thing. You know, I bought my first piece of art when I was 22.
Right.
And I've been collecting ever since. How should a young person start to collect their art for their lifetime?
So I'd say that the basic advice that I could give is that, you know, if you want to take it as an investment point of view, you need to be a collector first. And it's not necessary to start off with the most expensive works. There's a lot of talent.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of potential. I've seen artists grow. In fact, I mean, at the risk of sounding not so modest, I'd say that I want to probably buy back my first piece that I sold to someone because value sometimes increases.
Mm.
So you just have to have an eye, to see the potential in the artist.
Mm.
Or the artist's work. It helps if you follow the social media again, like I said. That's how you get to know, is it a one-time work or is it a consistency? Is there a consistency? Are there shows happening?
Mm.
And then, of course, national level recognitions, awards make a lot of difference.
Okay.
I say that it's good to bank on artists who are upcoming, start collecting their works also. Then, I think it would be a very good idea as a collector, if you want to start collecting, attend shows, attend art summits. There are a lot of people who are experimenting, a lot of new talents, which unfortunately sometimes don't even get the opportunity or the exposure because, you know, some galleries, of course, do only the tried and tested works. It's always good to explore yourself and see. So I'd say, like, again, art is very personal.
Buy what you like, and you can live with, isn't it?
You have to live with it. You don't. So, one finds what you connect with.
Well said. One more question for you before I move to some questions personally for you.
Yes, please.
You know, I was reading an article recently where they said that large companies are now renting art. And, you know, because their interior designers have said that you must change your boardroom look, etc.
Right.
So, you know, there are galleries who rent out art and then they take it back.
Right.
What will this do for artists?
So, I was also reading about this and I think some of the big companies are doing it. But, you know, here there are two ways of looking at it. I would say that there's nothing really wrong in it.
Mm-hmm.
From an artist's perspective, let's say. Not, okay, so it's very individual.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say is that you're not really losing anything. You're getting exposure. Even galleries ask for your work for 3, 4, 5 months. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no guarantee that there's going to be a sale.
Mm-hmm.
So that exposure that you're getting in big companies, like I believe Capgemini does it. I believe Hitachi. Mm-hmm. At all. So there are a few other companies I've heard to it.
Mm-hmm.
The footfall rate is a lot, and there's a possibility of a sale also there where, you know, there are people who like your work and want to pick it up also.
Correct.
So I feel one way of looking at it is that you're generating some income while you can have a regular source of income, because you know, not every time the art moves as fast. I mean, if a person's completely relying on this as a source of income, it's all right to get a revenue, as long as, of course, you're sure that the artwork is going to be handled well. It's not going to be, you know, mismanaged, or during trade it doesn't get damaged. Or there is one drawback, I'd say, that there is this little fear that people may have a mindset that is artist ka kaam bikne na to kirai. That risk is something that, you know, you have to see whether you're willing to take it or not. But I don't think it's a bad idea at all. On the side, you can always do your solo shows and go in specifically to the jury-based selection events, where your anyway your credibility is important. It may just help you.
That's it. So I'm now going to move to the last segment of our conversation, which are some questions for you personally.
Yeah.
I think we have time for two, maybe three questions.
Sure.
So, Seema, as you look back at life,
right,
as you say, you know, look at life ahead, you know, you've had an amazing life. You're a successful artist, recognized, awarded. What does success mean to Seema as you stand today?
Ashutosh, I know you're an author, but can I speak out a little poetry?
Yeah, of course.
Which I had written some time back, which I think would probably be able to tell you what success means to me.
Okay. That's fantastic. Okay.
I mean, again, I'm a very novice at writing, but I just write what really thought that comes to my mind. I'd like to read it out to you if you're good.
Sure, of course.
Okay, so it goes like, sometimes I wonder, if I was not an artist, what then? Thoughts often cross my mind, cocooned in my studio, my haven, my den. Is my vision just a pipe dream, I fear, while some who reach predictable heights are my peer? Sometimes I wonder over challenges of living a freelance lifestyle. I have settled for a 9-to-5 for that extra edge, that extra mile. Then my thoughts go yonder, to that line, that curve, that cut, that stroke to reach my goal, which will touch, stir, move one beholder's soul. Then I smile that I touch another heart. I smile that someone connects with my art. I smile at that magical moment, oh so fine. I smile because that one moment is worth a million lifetime. I smile, swanky cars or no, fat bank balance or no. Smile, I've arrived. I'm here, I'm alive. I smile reassured.
Wow.
So that is success for me.
Wow, that's beautiful. Beautiful words.
And genuinely, I genuinely mean that success for me. It's okay if I don't have a big car or if I don't have the most expensive in my hand. If someone connects with my art and I'm doing good, I'm self-reliant, I'm very happy. That's my
success. Fantastic. And a follow-up question to that, Seema, is who or what inspires you?
Who inspires me? Let's say in an art, from an art perspective, I'd say when I started sculpture, Rodin's work was my ultimate. And now, of course, so for the realistic thing, like let's say realistic work, Rodin's work really moved me. But now I would say that anyone who can truthfully express themselves, whatever form or whatever expression, that honesty that reflects in your work is what inspires me. That person inspires me.
Amazing.
Who's willing to come to their comfort zone and experiment with mediums which seem so technically strong and challenging inspires me. Could be anyone.
Fabulous. And my last question to you now, and this question is on failure. And I've got a new book coming out in 10 days on failure.
Wow.
So, by, you know, I've also said very often that Indian parents don't teach children it's okay to fail. We're always told, first aao, line ke sabse aage jaake khade ho, etc., etc. And that manifests itself in our behavior patterns. Yet we fail, we learn.
Sure.
My question to you is that what have been your learnings from some of your mistakes?
So, I think I'm still learning. I'm making mistakes every day. Let's say that I accept the fact that there's always someone out there who's ready to take you for a ride. If you're willing to bend, you know, you're left with holding the short end of the stick, but then that's okay. I would say then accept it as a part of growing process. Mm. Accept the fact that you can always win. I mean, don't be bitter about it. Mm. There's always for one person who's not nice to you, there are 10 people who are extremely good. I would just say that for anybody, I accept it as a failure, but I still say that. Mm. I'd say coming back to this is also that accept that you need help. You don't have to know everything.
Correct.
You don't have to know everything. It's all right. There's a very interesting question when I remember in Columbus, my boys were going to, and there was this interview that we had to come across, and this gentleman suddenly asked, how many steps did you climb? Mm. Coming here, total something to off balance you. And you know, you're not supposed to be counting steps when you're climbing up. But then you just, I think your instinctive reaction is as many as you climbed. Mm. Because you're not supposed to know the answers. My point is, you're not supposed to know the answers.
Yeah.
You have to be resourceful. I mean, if you turn around and ask me a question, like a huge word, which I don't know the meaning of, I'll pick up a dictionary. It's okay. It's all right, like, you know, so it's all right not to know everything. It's okay to have a headache if you're too tired to pick up your kid.
I agree with you.
That's the way I...
Fantastic. Seema, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. It's such an honor listening to your journey of art. I love your poem. I love your poem. Thank you very much.
It's been long. Thank you for being patient and listening to me. But
thank you.
I couldn't have summed my idea of success as well as I could back there. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.